Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Come on, can you give your pastor a hand? Come on, what a great church. Amen, your worship team. From those helping in the parking lot all the way to inside, you guys are blessed with the best here. Amen. Can I pray for you real quick before we start? Father, I thank you right now. God, as we get ready to hear your word, Father, I believe you're showing us the next place you have for us to go. Father, I believe whether people are meeting you for the first time today or they've been with you for a while, God, you're not done with us. You're starting new things in our lives and new seasons as we continue to trust in you. We ask you, Lord, to bring us to the place you'd have for us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. Come give somebody a high five around you. You may be seated this morning. I want to first honor your pastors. Man, what a blessing it is to be here. What a blessing it is to be back. It's one thing to be asked one time, but to come back, it is a blessing to be here and see the expansion, the great vision that your pastors carry. Come on, I don't know. I guarantee you saw the building as you drove in today, man. Are y'all excited about that? Let me ask you one more time. Are you really excited about that? There you go. That's what I'm talking about. I'm honored to have my wife here with me. We have five beautiful children. Man, I am a blessed man. God has truly blessed us. And so I'm thankful that our family is able to join with a family like you, and together the kingdom continues to build and build and build. Like Pastor said, we're from Lafayette, Louisiana, and it's our privilege to come and speak today. I want to speak something to you out of my heart, a message entitled, Turn Around. Look at somebody next to you and say, Turn Around. Now turn around to somebody behind you and say, Turn Around. Amen. I want to read just 9 verses to you this morning, and I want to show you the life of a man by the name, we may know him as Peter, but he was Simon in the beginning, and then later on Jesus began to give some revelation to him as he revealed some things. But Simon had this season in his life that he was in. Anyone ever been in a season before? Not too long ago, my wife and I, actually June of this year, we're introduced to a new season of our life where our 3-year-old son Dylan was diagnosed with ALL T-cell leukemia. And today we're in a new season where he's in full remission. Come on, all glory be to God, amen. Some season you're in, they feel like it's an eternity, but I can tell you this, seasons are not forever. You know, the Bible says that though we go through or walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil. I think the key to that is understanding you got to go through it. Not that God gave you the valley, but the through is the key. He didn't say, though I live in the valley, take up residency in the valley. I think sometimes we stop in our storm or stop in our season and we quit trusting God, quit relying upon God to bring us through it. And believe it or not, if you'll allow that resistance to grow you, that pressure, that storm, that season to develop you, you'll actually come out better rather than bitter. And sometimes we do the opposite. Well, Simon's in this situation, right? He's here, and this is the coolest chapter to me in Luke, because we get to see Jesus preaching and teaching different than anyone had ever done before. This is the first time that we can see noted in the Bible that someone stepped out of the synagogue to teach. Jesus went outside of the norm. You know, your pastors have a ministry that's phenomenal here in this area, and they've got a great building, and buildings are being built, but you know, they don't just keep the word in this building. Through missions and giving and things that y'all do as a church, the voice goes far beyond. You're helping amplify the voice of God far beyond just the local pulpit or the stage. Well, Jesus goes out, and he's about to preach a message. And he's outside. It's an open-air meeting. And in Luke chapter 5, I want to read with verse 1. The New Living Translation reads this way. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the Word of God. The key to understand here is that they weren't there because he was famous. They weren't there because, you know, they heard he was going to feed them later, right? Although that's a lot of what we have to do now. Like, for men's meetings, it's like, hey, we're going to give you barbecue if you'll come to church. And then men come to church, right? They weren't there for the free brisket or ribs. They were there because they needed the Word of God. See, the Word of God has a voice for the ears of those who need it. You remember when you heard the Word. Today, some of you may be hearing it for the first time. It's a life-changing word. To me, it radically turned my life around. So here they are pressing in to listen to the Word of God. And in verse 2, it says, he noticed there was two empty boats at the water's edge. Now, I don't know if you know why boats are designed, but they're not designed for land, right? Boats are designed to go out where you can't stand, right? Deep water. And so these boats aren't serving their purpose. They're at the water's edge. Not only that, but look what it says after that. And the fishermen, who were supposed to be in boats fishing, left them and were washing their nets. Now the water's edge is a reflection of a shallow end of water. You ever swam in the deep end of the pool or the shallow end? Right, the shallow end is where Simon is right now. And ultimately, he's really in a shallow season of his life. He's frustrated. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there, man. You're just kind of kicking around the shallow waters. Your expectation is shallow. Your faith is shallow. Your trust is shallow. You're frustrated. You're disappointed. I've been there. Well, it says here that Jesus shows up. How many know Jesus will always show up? Stepping in to one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner. So he stepped into Simon's boat to push it out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now, go out where it is deeper. Look at somebody and say, go out where it's deeper. He says, go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Sounds good, but look at what Simon replies with. He says, Master, come on, man. We've worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. I like that phrase, if you say so, because every now and then we've got to get to a place with God where we just say, look, if you say so. Because what he revealed to Jesus at that time was he said, I'll do it again, meaning I've already done that before. You ever been there? Like, he asks you to forgive somebody, and you're like, seriously? Again? You want me to forgive? I thought this was the opportunity where now I get to have vengeance, you know? You mean I got to do it again? Yeah, you got to do it again. He says, if you say so, meaning even though Simon was frustrated, had a season of shallow expectation, he still had enough trust to say, I can do it again. I believe some of you in here today, the Lord's asking you, can you do it again? Because this is what we see here in verse 6. It says, and this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. See, the problem with most of us, not you, because you're amazing people and you're full of faith and you always trust God, right? That's what your pastor says, at least. But there's got to be somebody on the planet that maybe has a difficulty in trusting God. Notice that it said, and this time. The problem is that we often refer to the last time. And that's what Simon was saying. He goes, look, Jesus, come on, man. We did that. Like, I get it. You teach and preach and go do your thing. I don't know if you noticed, I got two boats. Like, I'm a successful businessman. I outgrew myself, got another boat, got partners. We kind of know what we're doing. And we hit every spot on that water we knew to hit last night. There are no fish. But he said, if you say so. If you keep focusing on the last time, you'll never get to the this time. And he said, and this time. I believe there's a this time awaiting you. But what you're going to have to do is stop looking through the filter of last time. You know, the problem with failure is that failure, if you're not careful, you can assume the identity of failure. But failure is not an identity, it's an event. Therefore, just because you failed doesn't mean you're a failure. You've just got to trust God again to have a this time. And just because you missed it one time doesn't mean that you are in line to keep missing it and keep missing it and keep missing it. If you'll simply let Jesus into your boat, I believe God will show you a this time. Well, look what it says after we read that in verse 6. It says in verse 7, a shout for help. Come on, this time was different than the last time. A shout for help brings in his partners. Why? Because his business had grown, right? And he brings them in, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. That sounds pretty good. Verse 8 says, so when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please forgive me. I'm such a sinful man. You know, I do know the Bible says that the goodness of the Lord leads man to repentance. Oftentimes, though, we repent because of the badness of us. Like, God, I screwed up, forgive me again. Like, I remember coming to church week after week, just going, God, I don't even belong in this place, man. I keep screwing up. What are you going to do with somebody like me? I have nothing to offer you. But the more that I trusted him, he began to turn me around, change things, and now I'm able to be used by God. Because I had to change my expectation. I had to get out of the shallowness of my frustration and into the depths of expectation. Amen. So here it says that he had all those guys come in. They had such a great catch. Look at verse 9. He was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others that were with him. What kind of a catch is it for a fisherman who had one boat at one time with him and his net, that he grew so fast he had to get multiple boats and partners and staff? What kind of a catch is it that's gonna surprise someone like that? Who's been in those waters day after day, week after week, year after, what kind of a catch is it that leaves you so awestruck that you go, I need to repent? What was I doing thinking that I've seen my best days? There's things I've yet to see. Well, look at how it all started off. Notice when Jesus met Simon Peter, he was at the water's edge. See, sometimes life and disappointment leaves us with a smaller expectancy than before. You go through something. You get challenged. Your faith is tested. And man, if it's not what you think it should be, then you begin to question who you are. Maybe I'm not who I thought I was. Maybe God doesn't do this for everyone. Maybe he just does it for some. No, listen, the Bible says in the last days, he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh. It doesn't matter if you live in Mississippi, you live in Louisiana, live in Antarctica. All that matters is that you have flesh. All that matters is that you're a target for God to use you in partnership with his kingdom. So here, the first thing that Jesus asked Peter to do, you know, Jesus wasn't over here teaching and looks back and sees the boats and goes, hey, fisherman, come over here and meet me where I am. He went to him. See, I don't know how you sometimes view God, but I remember before I really had an understanding that I have today, when I was battling life and just a life of chaos, running from God, honestly, is what it was I always felt like I was never good enough for God. Like, I had to clean up to go to God. Like, I'll go to church when I get my stuff together. The issue is, that's by works. You can't clean up enough to go to God. You can't do enough to deserve God. His blood washes you. His blood makes you worthy. So here's Jesus. He says, no, I'm going to go to you. I'm going to go to you. Even like the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he sat down right there in her mess and spoke to her. Jesus came to Simon that day and he said, hey man, let's go deeper. He didn't want him to stay where he was. See, God will always accept you where you are. He'll meet you where you are, but he'll always ask you to go deeper. He'll always bring you to a different place. And that's what happened to Simon that day. He's in this moment, he's in this frustration, and he says, can you go deeper? Where are you at in life right now? Are you at the water's edge in life? Are you frustrated with the situation? Maybe it's a business, a relationship, your health, that next season you're about to step into. Are you frustrated? Are you in a place where you've had setbacks and disappointment and things that have happened that maybe are causing you to feel like giving up? Don't give up. Don't lose hope. There's a this time awaiting you if you'll stop focusing on the last time. Stop focusing on the disappointments. Let's look at another translation of this. I told you, we're only going to give you 9 verses this morning, but as I'm trying to paint this picture for you this morning, I think the Message translation can add a little color to this picture today, because he says in verse 3, talking about Jesus, it says, he climbed into his boat, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. I like that, because Jesus never asked him to do anything crazy. He just said, come on, just a little bit. Can you do a little something? You know, sometimes when you're so frustrated with life, that's pretty much all you can do. It's like, okay, I'll do a little bit. I'll trust you a little bit, God. But a little bit of trust can go a long way when it comes to your relationship with God. And it says, and this is the phrase I really want you to grasp today. It says, sitting there using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. What do you have today that can be used as a pulpit for Jesus? I mean, really think about it, because I know Ephesians 4 tells us that God gave gifts unto men and pastor, evangelist, prophet, and you may not be that, but that doesn't mean you don't have a pulpit opportunity. A pulpit's not just a literal pulpit that you can stand behind and preach, but it's something that you give God that can amplify his voice. Not too long ago, I have a man in my church. He was in college at the time, and he had just gotten married, and every time we'd have the offering, I always knew where he was in the building because I could hear his offering. You know, some people may write a check. It's not very loud when you drop a check in a bucket or put some dollar bills in a bucket, but his was a very loud offering because it was a handful of change. And it wasn't to belittle the amount that he was giving, but one day I just met him in the foyer and I said, buddy, look, I always know where you are in my auditorium because I can hear your giving. And I said, you know, God hears your giving. God sees what you do. And you may be at this season in your life right now, but no, if you'll stay faithful, God can bring you to a new season. And so I just asked him, I said, man, can you tell me your story? Like, where are you at right now? What's going on in your life? He said, well, Pastor, me and my wife, we just got married. We're both students at our college, our university here in town, and we're both on the track team. We run. He said, but we survive on grants. Our grants pay for our school, it pays for our housing, and we're in school so much we can't afford to work. We don't have time to get a job, so we literally survive off of grants. And he said, the other day, I was just praying because you're always telling us at church that we too can be used by God. And I'm thinking, how can someone like me be used by God? I don't have anything. I'm in survival mode. Anyone ever been a college student before? A few of you, you know what I'm talking about, you know, ramen noodles and whatever else it is that you have. Nothing wrong with it. But he said, you know what I did the other day, Pastor? He said, I was praying and I decided I was going to change the route that I run. He said, because the only ability that I have is I'm a good runner. God really has blessed me in running. He said, so every day I wake up at like 3 or 4 in the morning and I go running to get ready for this meet or whatever I do at school. He said, but I changed my routes. Instead of running through neighborhoods, I began to run through local drive-through restaurants. He said, because at 3 or 4 in the morning, nobody's there. It's not open anymore. He said, but I found that people would drop their change on accident when they were getting their change back and it would be left there. He said, so every week, I have no job, but I changed my route. And so I come with a handful of change that I picked up that morning running. I was amazed. He did not disqualify himself because of the season he was in. Yet he said, God, there's got to be something I can do for you. You know, that handful of change may not have seemed like a lot to him, but can I tell you this? Within 1 year's time, he was the 5th largest giver in my church. 1 year's time. He graduated, got on staff at this one company, and he was literally just helping organize the inventory. And they began to promote him and promote him and promote him and promote him. He said, Pastor, I went from giving 10% to 20%. I went from giving 20% to 30%. He said, when I partner with God with drive-through seasons of my life, he brought me into much more. Now he's opened his home. He's adopting kids in the foster system. He's beginning to use, because what happened? His wife had a child. Almost killed her, almost killed the baby. The doctor said, you can't have any more children. He said, no, I can have more children. If my wife can't, I'll go find someone else's child and I'll father them. He's using his life as a pulpit. Now we're discipling the children. We're raising them up. What is that? Never disqualify yourself because of the season that you're in right now. Allow God to use you right where you are. But you've got to trust him. And so it says that he climbed into the boat. He used the boat as a pulpit. See, this is the key, church. Jesus didn't need the boat. I mean, if you've heard the story before, Jesus actually walks on water. You know what I'm saying? Like, he walks on water. He doesn't need a boat. Can I say something to you today? God doesn't need you. He chooses you. It's amazing to me that God chooses us to advance his kingdom. Isn't that what Jesus taught us? Matthew 6, he said, let me teach you how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? Right here, man, on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. What? Why? So I can help build your kingdom, God. He chooses to use us. Jesus desired to partner with man in his efforts to minister to the needs of others. That means that God has made it to where his advancement on earth is tied to our cooperation, or you could say our partnership. Years ago, Dr. Lillian Bioman had an amazing quote. She said this, she said, God has tied himself irrevocably to human cooperation, or you could say, unless you're not a human in here, to your cooperation. Anybody here not human? Anybody? Ushers, you wanna get them out of here? Take them out. All right, good. So he's tied himself irrevocably to what? To your cooperation. Why? In the execution of divine purposes. You say, come on, what's he gonna do with me that's divine? All he needs is partnership. I mean, this is a fisherman, he's a rough dude. And he's being used for the kingdom. But it says he's made man's faith a determining factor in the work of redemption. Your faith is the key. Do you know that what fear paralyzes, faith mobilizes? Some of us have been stuck by fear. Fear of letdown, fear of setback, fear of I may fail again if I step out and try that. Don't let fear rob you of the advancement that God has designed you for. See, boats were made to be in water. You were made to partner with the kingdom. But if you're there in the shallow fear of your life, then you serve the purpose of fear instead of the purpose of God, a divine purpose. Amen. And so Jesus' ministry was ultimately limited before the use of that boat. He chose, but he needed somebody to partner with him for that season. And so Simon helped to amplify the voice so that others could hear. And ultimately, that's what partnering with God, especially financially, does. You're helping to amplify the voice of God so other people can hear the same sound that changed your life. I'll never forget when I gave my life to Christ. I'll never forget it. But do you know somebody partnered with him so I could get that? You know somebody made a way for me to receive that day? Somebody used their life as a pulpit. Somebody gave whatever they had for the kingdom of God. Look at verse 4. He says in the Message translation, when he finished teaching, he said to Simon, push out into the deep water and let your nets out for a catch. This is where we see the mindset of Simon now. he says, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night." All night, right? We've been doing this. Like, I get it. You know, you've already got my boat, so can we just get you back to your teaching gig? No, he says, "We've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow." He says, "But if you say so, I'll let down the nets." And it was no sooner said than done, but a huge haul of fish, straining the nets past capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And it says they filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Now, South Louisiana, I know what a swamp looks like. To have so many fish that it swamps your boat, literally sinks your ship. But did you pick up the mind of Simon? I've been fishing before. Anybody been fishing? We talked about this a while ago, right? Okay, so you've been fishing. So when I go fishing, my family's livelihood does not depend on it. My sanity depends on it. When you have five kids, disappearing into a boat is like heaven on earth, right? But if I come home with no fish, I don't have kids with empty plates going, "Daddy, feed me." No, I have a job, right? So it's a hobby for me. It's not my livelihood. So it's hard for me to relate at some point to the condition that Simon was in, especially in his personal life and his business. But I've been fishing before, and I come home with nothing. And you know what people usually ask me? "So did you catch anything?" And my first thing is, "No, but I got some good nibbles. I got some bites," right? And one of those bites, I know it had to have been a 5-pound bass. I mean, I'm just going to let it get fat and eat a few more weeks, and I'll go back out there and I'll pick it up next week, right? But you know, in all of my frustration of not catching a fish, I was okay with at least knowing I got a nibble. What kind of mindset do you have that you've expanded your business, you've grown your resources, you've brought in staff? Listen, it's not just that his family depended on him. There's markets. There's stores that he's selling fish to. There's a community that depends on him. And he is at a place where he has nothing. And he tells Jesus, "Look, man, I didn't even catch a minnow." Now, I don't know how many fish it takes to swamp your boat, but it's not a minnow. He literally got to the place where he said, "We would have at least felt like we weren't complete failures if we would have at least caught a minnow." Can I say something to you, church? Never lower your expectation because of your desperation. Come on, single people. "Well, I've been single for this long." That's okay. Never settle because you're desperate. You say, "Well, I'm not single." Okay, I'll talk to you wherever you are. Married people. Whatever your season is, never lower your expectation because of your desperation. God didn't want him to have a minnow mindset. Jesus was trying to get him out of small, shallow thinking and show him, "If you'll just trust me, I can swamp even the boats that you thought you needed." I mean, imagine him going to Bass Pro and going, "Hey, I need to get another boat. My boat's not enough, just two of everything, two nets, two boats." But you know, even if he had bought the biggest boat, I believe God would have filled that too. See, God can do it. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask or think." One translation says, "Above even your wildest dreams." But you know, not many people dream in the shallows of life. You've got to allow God to take you from that place and bring you into a whole new place where he can actually get you to think different. So again, never lower your expectation because of desperation. But you know, not many big fish are caught in shallow waters. That means if you want bigger, you're going to have to go deeper. Come on, look at somebody next to you and say, "If you want bigger, you're going to have to go deeper." It's just the truth. You're going to have to go deeper. You want God to change your life? You're going to have to get out of the shallow water. And he'll put some floaties on you if you need it. He was in the boat with him, wasn't he? He stayed with him. He was there to be there with him. I mean, the Bible calls him, you know, Jehovah's sit canoe. He sits in your canoe, right? He'll be there for you. That was a corny joke from way back. Just look it up, right? So if you want bigger, you're going to have to go deeper, right? We want to get into the deep things of God. Not too long ago, I was in prayer one morning, and when you have 5 kids, you just got to wake up at like 3 in the morning to pray if you want it to even be successful. Because once your kids get up, there's some, like, it's like this spirit that overtakes you. You thought you had tranquility. You thought you were having a peaceful morning with coffee, and it's just like, Cheerios are stuck to the walls, and something happened, you know, and you're just like, oh, my gosh. So here I am praying, and I'm doing everything in my power not to wake up my kids. But, man, I hit a gusher in prayer that morning. I mean, I was so excited. God was speaking to me. I'm pacing my living room floor, and I'm going, this is so good, man. I'm trying to be quiet, but I'm so excited. Like, no kids. No Cheerios. Right? And then God, as I'm praying, I hear this word, turnaround. And I'm going, okay. Now, I don't know how your prayer life is, but for me, and I believe he'll do it for anyone, every now and then he'll give me a word or a focus in my times of prayer. So I'm going to focus on that word. God, I don't know what you're trying to tell me, but I believe something's turning around. Things are turning around, turn around, turn around. I started writing a rap song. You know, I'm just kidding. But here I am, right? And then I got another word, redirecting. And I'm going, wow, okay, this is cool. You're redirecting something. You're turning something around. So finally, after about an hour, I said, God, you're going to have to tell me what you're trying to tell me because I'm not picking this up. He said, go sit down and open to Luke 5 and let's talk. And I read the exact same verses that I just read to you. And the Holy Spirit asked me this question. He said, Caleb, do you think that I created those fish the moment those nets dropped in that water? I said, no, sir, I don't, because Genesis 1 tells us in the beginning you created the heavens and the earth. You spoke the waters into existence. You spoke the fish in the sea, the stars in the sky. I mean, I see it clearly in your word that it was long before Simon was ever even alive or ever bought that boat. He said, then how did I get those fish there? How did those fish get into his nets? I said, God, I don't know. You got to tell me. He says, very simple, Caleb. I turned them around. I redirected them. Now, just for a moment, if you can just, in my mind, this is what I see. Let's do an aerial view of that picture we just painted today. And here's Jesus over here, and he's teaching the thousands, the masses over here. And here's frustrated Simon over here. And I have lots of kids, 5 to be exact. And so at some point, I've watched Finding Nemo 1,000 times. And there's a big schools of fish. Let's at least know that we're dealing with a school of fish that can sink 2 boats, tear the nets of 2 boats, right? So I don't know how big it is, but it's a school of fish. And here they are. They're swimming so far away from Simon Peter. They're nowhere near Simon. Even the night before, they're like, no, we're nowhere near you. We're gone. But here comes Jesus needing a partner. And he walks over to Simon and he says, hey, man, can I use your boat? He could have said no, but he didn't. And when he said yes, I just picture those fish turning around. Come on, they're turning around. And here's Simon, and he's sitting in there, you know, like, okay, how long is this dude's message going to be? And he's teaching, what, just a little bit from the shore. But then Jesus does what only Jesus can do. And he says, look, man, so you've helped me, so let me help you. You've allowed me the use of what's yours. Let me allow you the use of what's mine. That's what partnership is. You will never, ever, 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 ever outgive God. And God will never let you give and say, that's okay, I'm not going to help you. After he used his boat, he said, now, let's go deep. Why? Because here's the boat, here's these fish, and these fish are coming, right? And then all of a sudden, he goes deep, and God knew the right time, the right place. Can I tell you, God knows where you are. He knows the timing of your life, and there's things right now that are turning around for you in this season, redirecting ample provision to your life. How does that happen? Partnership. Trusting. What can God use as a pulpit in your life? I truly believe there's two types of people here today. Some of you relate to the first scene that we saw with Simon Peter. You're in a shallow moment of life. You're frustrated, kicking around waters and washing your nets. Failure is very relevant to you. Setback, disappointment is very real to you right now. Will you let Jesus in your boat? That's a really big decision right now. Will you let him in your boat? The second group of people I think that may be in here today is you and Jesus are good. Y'all been in the boat for a while. You've been helping him do things. You've been helping him with his kingdom. But this is the thing. He's asking you today, will you go deeper? See, no matter whether you're here and this is the very first introduction to who Jesus is to you in your life, or you've been seasoned in this thing called Christianity, he still wants you to go deeper. See, partnership is a two-way deal. He was there allowing Jesus to use his boat, and Jesus said, if you'll partner with me, let me show you what I can do for you. Now, I probably, if I was Simon, I would have asked Jesus, can I meet you here tomorrow, same time, same place? You get back in my boat and we catch that amount of fish again, that would be great. But you know what's so amazing? Is all the skill set, all the ability, everything that Simon had, he walked away from it. He never looked back. He said, partnership. That's what I've been missing. I thought if I just got more boats and got more clients and did this, I would increase. But I see now, if I partner with you, he was so awestruck at what God had done that it caused him to follow him more. Today, church, partnership is simply adding value back to the thing that has already been adding value to you. Here's Simon now, saying, I want to give back. Look what you did to me. Can I follow you all the days of my life? Can I partner with you? See, we have to leave the shallow waters of low expectation. And we've got to begin to launch out into the deep waters of faith. Can I pray for you this morning, church? Father, I thank you right now for each and every person. God, I don't know where they are, but I do know where you are. And God, you'll meet them in any season that they encounter. Father, I ask you right now, whether they be in the shallows or in the boat, God, take them deeper in their relationship with you, in their understanding. Lord, as they partner with you, God, you're partnering with them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Come give the Lord a hand this morning. Amen.
We want to thank you for listening to us today. I pray that you enjoyed the message, and I just know that as we talk, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart. Hopefully, we'll see you soon sometime. Join us this weekend if you can. Until then, we'll see you next time.